Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. One more time, give the Lord a good praise, would you? Amen. Open your Bible, if you would, to the New Testament. And guys, let's don't start it on the screens yet, but Philippians chapter 3. Just a reminder, next weekend, I believe Marilyn Hickey will be here with us in all three services, not in our Spanish service, but she'll be here in the other services. So keep that in prayer, would you? And you might invite a friend. She has a lot of friends out there that maybe they know she's in town. They'll want to come and hear her. So that's next weekend. It's going to be great. Right, church? Amen. All right. We're talking about how to live a life with no regret. How to live a life with no regret. And last weekend, we started it, and we defined regret as an emotion of sadness, of being sad, being sorrowful, sad and sorrow. And we talked about how that looking back on four things, focusing on them, creates regret in our life. God doesn't want us to live with regret because, again, regret will cause us to live sad. It'll cause us to live depressed or sorrowful, and it will cause us to live in shame. And all that's in your dictionary, okay? So sad, sorrow, and shame. And you know, God doesn't want us to live sorrowful, sad, or in shame because our faith won't work, right, church? Our faith won't work if we're depressed. Our faith won't work if we are feeling sorry for ourselves or we're ashamed of ourselves. We're going around with all of those kind of negative emotions. Your faith won't move the mountains that you want to see moved in your life. So I think it's very relevant and very real that we need to know how to deal with regret. Amen? Now, regret will come, looking back, if you weren't with us, four things. You might want to write it down if you're a note taker, because you and I want to go from regret to restoration. You and I want to go from being sad to living a significant, satisfied, full life. So when we look back, number one, at our mistakes and focusing on our mistakes, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Now, where I got the brainchild for this series was I was reading a book that was on the New York Times bestseller, and they gave the five biggest regrets. And they had researched and interviewed all these people that were dying and didn't have long to live. And they asked them, if you could live over again and do it differently, what would you do differently? So that's kind of the brainchild for this series of regret, looking at the top five regrets that they found. And last weekend we looked at one, and today we're going to look at a different one. But regret comes from looking at our past mistakes, and we've all made mistakes. Amen? We've all made mistakes. It's safe to admit at Church on the Rock that you've made mistakes, because we all have. And guess what? We're going to make more. The road to success is failure, right? The road to success is full of potholes. Did you ever think about this? This is free, but the book of Joshua, that's one of my favorite Old Testament books, one of them, the book of Joshua. That's where the new leaders and the new generation took the people in to possess the land, right? But if you look at that, there were 31 different enemy kings. 31 different enemy kings, and their names are listed in Joshua, the book of Joshua, that they had to overcome to possess the land. Everybody say 31. Now think about that. You know, they had to overcome and defeat these 31 different kings that were standing in their way. There were giants in the land, right? And they were standing in the way of what God said belonged to them. And I got to thinking about that the other day. I've been reading through a devotional again in the mornings on the book of Joshua. I got thinking about that. 31 evil kings. How many days in a normal month? We have an enemy every day. We have a battle every day. We're fighting a good fight of fight, good fight of faith every day. 31 evil kings, 31 days in a month. You and I have got to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. We've got to learn how to overcome regret, which comes from looking, focusing on our past mistakes. I'm so glad that when we come here, we learn how to fight the good fight of faith, how to resist the devil and receive from God. Did you know that's what the fight of faith is all over? Two things: resisting the devil and receiving from God. That's the fight of faith. You're going to have to fight every day, 31 days, 31 evil kings that will keep you out of what God has for you, an abundant life, a full life, a satisfied life. And what that fight is all over is resisting the devil and learning how to receive what God said already belongs to you. Because the devil stands between you and what God has in store for you. Are you still with me, church? Regret comes from focusing on our past. Now, that was all free, but we're learning how to overcome these enemies that we all face. And number two, it comes from focusing on our missed opportunities. Our missed opportunities. But you know, I'm so glad that God can restore, take our regrets and make restoration, right? Several years ago, it was when Daniel, our son, was in Bible college with Jerry Savelle. And Brother Jerry, every year, has a minister's meeting. At that time, he had Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was alive then. He had Oral Roberts as his speaker. And we were down there for that meeting and visiting Daniel. He was at college at that time at Jerry Savelle School in Fort Worth. And I'll never forget, Brother Jerry's pilot came to me and said, "Hey, Dave, I got to fly the jet out to California, Orange County, pick up Oral Roberts, and I got to fly him back in a private jet for the meeting. Come go with me, and you can sit in the back of the jet, and you have Oral Roberts all to yourself from California to Fort Worth." How cool is that? How dumb am I? I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And I said, I don't think I can do that right now. After I did that and didn't do that, I regretted that. Now, don't look at me like you don't have any regrets. All of God's people have regrets, amen? That's why it's very real what we're talking about. It's very pertinent to where you and I live. So I always regretted that. I thought, oh my goodness, I could have sat there, you know, and picked his brain, take notes, and nobody else on the private jet but me and Oral Roberts in the back. How could I have missed that? But you know what? God is so good. Years later, we got invited, Kim and I, to his house in Orange County, California, and we got to spend time with him. He laid hands on us. He prayed over us, released an anointing over us, signed my Bible, and you know what? He began to send me personal notes every month, Oral Roberts. God can restore, can't he? So, you know, but if you focus on those missed opportunities, we'll be sad, we'll be sorrowful, and we'll live in shame. And if we're living in shame and condemnation, our faith won't move mountains. Number three, if we focus on past bad memories, and we've all got those too, right? It's a safe place. You can say, okay, amen, yes. We all got bad memories, you know. If you've lived any long time at all, you got some bad memories. I'm so glad that the gospel, Jesus, when he got up to preach in the synagogue in Luke 4, he said, "I've come to bring you good news," right? "I've come to preach the gospel to the broken hearted." Here's what I know. Everybody here tonight has had a broken heart. Yep. And there are some here tonight who have a broken heart. And there are some here tonight that this week, a king, an evil king, a demon, a good fight of faith, a battle, a warfare, every day of the month, you will get a broken heart. But I'm so glad that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I'm so glad that he came to take those bad memories. And if I'll give them to him, what does he say? He'll turn everything. He's not doing everything, but he'll take everything. and work it together for our good. You can give him praise. Come on, it's okay. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. So number one, if I focus on my mistakes, boy, I'm going to live a life of regret. If I focus on my missed opportunities, I'm going to live a life of regret. I'll be sad, sorrowful, feel sorry for myself, live under condemnation, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'll be down on myself. Number three, bad memories. And number four, misfortunes. So if I focus on those things, it'll bring regret. Now, what we did last week, we're going to pick up again this week. We're going to go to the Bible. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for the next 20 minutes, okay? We're going to go to the Bible. We're going to look at a man in the Bible who could have had lots of regret. His name is the Apostle Paul. We're going to find out from him how he overcame. He was a murderer before he became a Christian, right? His name was Saul before it was Paul, before he had the road to Damascus experience. Yeah, and if anybody had regrets, if anybody had a past to get over, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Well, I want to find out how he did it. You and I can apply principles into our life so that we can do it, amen, and not look back over our life and say, oh, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but from now on, we can begin to live a more full life, abundant life, a life of impact and leaves a legacy where that you and I, when we die and go to heaven, we're going to receive a full reward. Not a partial, not a little, but we want the full reward. Amen? Okay, so let's look at it tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And then what I'll do is that I'm going to do like I did last week. You know, last week was about people said if they could live their life over, they would be more intentional with their relationships. Who you're connected to determines your life. Who you're connected to, our connections determines our dreams, our destiny, the way our life goes and ends up. So last weekend, we looked at the regret. They said that if they could do it over again, they would spend more time investing, valuing, building, cherishing relationships. And we gave you the illustration of Jesus on the cross, and he was about ready to give up the ghost. He's about ready to die. And what did he do? He was concerned about his mother not living life alone. He didn't want his mother, Mary, to be isolated and live life alone. So he said, John, the beloved, this is your mother. And to his mother, this is your son. He wanted to make sure she wasn't going to live life alone. None of us should live life alone or isolated. It's not good that man should be alone. Right, church? That was last weekend. So I'm going to give you number two at the end, but let's pick it up here and let the Word of God speak to you. Okay, church? Because it'll say things I can't say. As I read these scriptures, you know, other things can come out of them than even what I'm saying. Amen? It's called revelation. Okay? So I have not yet reached my goal. Look at the word goal. I have not yet reached my goal. So we talked about how we should be goal-oriented, right? It's our spiritual responsibility to set godly goals. And we said that the size of your goal is determined by the size of your God. The size of your goal is determined by the size of your God. If you have a big God, then you'll set some big goals. And notice that he has goals. So that's a key on how to overcome regret, is to get goals from God for your life and make sure they're God-given goals. And so he said, I have not yet reached my goal and I am not perfect. I haven't arrived. Perfect there is talking about spiritual growth. We brought that out, how that if we want to overcome regret, then we need to have a mindset of growth, that this year is going to be better than last year. That we're going to be stronger next weekend with Marilyn Hickey on Saturday night than tonight. That we're going to be stronger tomorrow, closer to God. That this year is going to be better than last. We got to have that spiritual growth mindset. That you and I are getting closer to God. That we're getting better. We're hearing his voice more clearly. Amen, church? So he said, I'm not perfect yet, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. Notice, I keep on running and I keep on struggling. I press to take hold of the prize. Now, mark that word, circle that word, write that word, prize. Because another word for that is reward. You and I have to be reward-minded if we're going to overcome our regrets of the past. What are you saying, Pastor? What do you mean rewards? I'm a Christian. I'm serving the Lord because I love him. Well, that's right, and we should, but the Bible says that he that believes that he is a rewarder, isn't that in Hebrews chapter 11? It says that you believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So for coming on a Saturday night, for plugging into the church, for going to Growth Track, for being in a small group, for being on the dream team, or serving God in my community, whatever I do for the Lord diligently, I can expect a reward. Now, I'm not doing it for the reward, but we have such a great, good, wonderful God. He said he'll reward us for doing it, right? So the prize here is the heavenly reward. It's the reward awaiting him. So my rewards in the future are much greater than my regrets in the past. So I don't want to meditate and muse on them. I want to move toward and work towards the rewards that God has for me in my future. Does that make sense? So the prize, next verse, verse 13, we're going to come back to that. My friends, I don't feel like I've already arrived, but I forget. Everybody say forget. I forget what is behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. Next verse, verse 14. I run towards the, here it is again, goal. So it's not a motivational speech. It's not a luxury. It's not an option. It's in the Bible. You and I have a spiritual responsibility to go to God and find some God-given goals for our life that will motivate us, inspire us, and keep us moving forward. So he said, I run towards the goal so I can win the prize. Notice the prize of being called to heaven. So we talked last week, if I want to overcome the regrets in my life, you know, made the wrong choices, went in the wrong places, were at the wrong place at the wrong time, wrong date, wrong marriage, wrong job, wrong career, wrong purchase, wrong this, wrong that. If I focus on all that, then I'm going to miss out on all that God has for me in my future. So we're to be eternity-minded. You know, C.S. Lewis said, those that do the most in this world are those who think about the most of the next world. C.S. Lewis, those who do the most in this world are those who think the most of the next world. Those who do the most in this life are those who are eternity-minded. Those who think about the next life the most. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? As C.S. Lewis. I run towards the goal, so I keep the prize, win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize God offers because of what Christ has done for me. Verse 15, all of us who are mature should have this same attitude and think the same way. Now, let's go back to the very beginning, verse 12, King James Version. Not as though I've already attained, neither already perfect, growth mindset, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I love this. The Living Bible paraphrase basically says here, where it says apprehended and apprehended, we kind of stumble over those words there, but basically in the Living Bible paraphrase, he says this. He said, I want everything Christ has provided for me. I love that. We should be focusing on the abundant life Christ has provided for you and me. All I want is everything Christ has purchased for me. How about you? That's all I want. I want nothing less. I don't want man to set the limits. I want God to set the limits. I don't want man or my family or my friends to create the dream. I want God to create the dream and the life for me. And how about you? I think you feel the same way, right? So all I want is everything Christ has provided for me. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Notice one thing, focus. Forgetting and reaching, focusing. We talked about last week how we are in a world now where we multitask. We're on the phone, we're on a computer, we're doing all kinds of things. We're so proud of ourselves for multitasking. But you know, really, I can't really be powerful, release my potential, and accomplish what God wants me to do for Him if I don't learn the power of focus and concentration. So he said, I focus on this one thing. What do you do, Paul? How did you get over your past, Paul? How'd you get over all the things that you did, all the regrets? I forget. Everybody say forget. And then I reach. Everybody say forgetting. Say reaching. Say forgetting. Say reaching. Oh, wow. That's so powerful. The things that are before me. Verse 14. I press. That speaks of diligence, and that speaks of ambition, and that speaks of struggle and hard work. I press towards the mark for the prize. Again, look at that word prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word prize is reward. Now, let me take you here real quick. 2 John chapter 8. Do we have that, guys? Did I give that to you? 2 John chapter 8. Can we read this together? This is a powerful verse. This is how we overcome our regrets, is by reaching towards the reward that God has for us. Because when he comes back, he said he's coming back with rewards, right? So let's read it on the count of three. One, two, three. Wow. So let's break it down. Point number one, look to yourself. What's he saying? Examine your life. What are you thinking about? What are you focusing on? What are you talking about? What I talk about the most means the most to me. What I think about the most means the most to me. What's taking up most your time, most your thoughts, most your words, most your conversation? He said, look to yourself. So we need to examine ourselves, right? Are we living in the past? Always talking about the past, talking about our hurts, our mistakes, misfortunes, missed opportunities. Are we doing that? Or are we spending more of our time reaching and living to what God has called us to live for every day of our life? So he said, look to yourself. Don't lose those things which you already have. But, that's number two, don't lose what you already have. So that lets me know that, you know, what I have gained I can lose, but it's up to me. Interesting, isn't it? But then number three, look at this. Here's what I want to hone in on. That we receive, note the word with me, circle it, full. Well, if it can be full, then it can be halfway. If it can be full, then it can be three quarters. If it can be a full reward, then it can be a quarter. Right, church? If it can be full, he emphasizes the word full reward. I don't want to forfeit my full reward by focusing on all my past mistakes, misfortunes, mishaps, come on somebody, missed opportunities, and live in regret. I want to turn those over to God, start applying these biblical principles of the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer. Wow. And all that he did to destroy the church and all that he did to kill Christians, what a past he had to get over, coulda, woulda, shoulda. And look how he's doing. He's telling us verse by verse, principle by principle, how he overcame and he could live a life without regret so you could receive your what? Full reward. So, and the Bible and the book of Revelation, we don't have time, but you all know I always have more than we have time for, right? Because I love you and I want to equip you. I want to feed you. I want to feed your faith. In the book of Revelation, it says that when we get to heaven, God's going to wipe away our tears. What are those tears for? What we could have had, what we could have done, all for him that we didn't. When we see what our potential was here and how far we live below it, and the full reward that he had for us, but we let other things distract us, other things to get in our way, and we started out right, but then we walked away, we ventured from the way, and lost everything we gained because we stopped examining ourselves. We stop looking at ourselves. We stop taking time to pause and calibrate. Where are we? What are we doing? What are we thinking? Who are we running with? What direction are we going in? What are we talking about? What are we meditating on over my past? Oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be forgetting. And I should be reaching because God has a full reward. And when I get to heaven, I don't want to cry over what I could have had throughout eternity. It's an eternal reward. Is that good? So that's what we need to be thinking about and be eternity driven. And I want nothing less than God's best. I want nothing less than everything he provided for you and for me. I don't want to get there and get half my reward. I want you and I to get there at Church on the Rock and get our full reward. That's an eternal reward. Now give the Lord a big praise. Would you? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So now let me take you now to the regret, all right? Matthew chapter 14. Again, the brainchild for this series, I read that book, looked at that book, and you can go online and you can research yourself, where they interview people who are dying, don't have much time to live. If you could live your life over, what would you do differently? Number two, what I want to deal with tonight, real short, is risk. They said, if you could live your life over again, what would you do? And this was like number two. They said, we take greater risk. 35 years ago, we came here, we left it all. We left all, had no money, no insurance, left a denomination, sold everything to come here and start this church. Everything, huge risk. We were told you were crazy, won't last, come back, we'll keep a spot for you, this, that, and the other. Huge risk, everything on the line. And here's what I know. If we hadn't done that, to God gets all the glory, I wouldn't be here with you tonight. I wouldn't be blessed by you tonight. And our connections and all the lives. And our marriage conference this weekend with over 100 people and their lives being changed and marriages being restored. That wouldn't have happened. All out of a risk. Think about in your own life, the times you really leaped forward, went to a new level. Wasn't it when you stepped out and took a risk to buy that house or that job? Or et cetera, or go to school, or whatever it is. I remember one time, you know, Kim and I, we were in college, and we didn't have money to go back our third year. And, I said, Kim, we're just going to go anyway. And we went down all the way down to Texas, Dallas, and I stood in the line to sign up for the next year. I didn't have a dime, but we packed everything up. We went back. We did this. We did that. I stood in line, didn't have a dime to go back to school. And, you know, God made a way. I mean, it was risky, boy. I was nervous. I stand there in that line. But when I got up there, and I showed them the classes I signed up for, how are you going to pay for this? And I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm working a full-time job, going to school, but that's for student loans we'd already had. I didn't want to incur any more student loan. And so I said, he went over and got one of the financial aid people, said, come back here. And wow, there were some grants paid for our last year. It didn't cost us a dime. And Kim got to go too. It was a risk. So what did they say, these people they interviewed? They said, if we could live our life over again, we would take bigger risk. So let's look at an example real quick in Matthew chapter 14. The team's going to come out. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And this is where Peter walked on the water. I'd say that's a big risk. Wouldn't you say that's a big risk? So Peter walked on the water, and people say, yeah, but he sunk. But he walked on the water. He did do it, yeah. He took a huge risk. So let's kind of look at the story real quick. I'll take just 5 minutes. We'll pull out a few principles on what we should remember when we step out to take a big risk. Because here's what I know. You won't grow. You won't really grow without taking a risk. You won't really go to that next level. We really can't fulfill God's will without taking a calculated risk. Okay? So let's look at it. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Family, do you see the word constrained? They didn't want to get in the boat. They didn't want to get in the boat. He just got done doing the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, right? They just saw this supernatural signs and wonders. And notice, Jesus is telling them, y'all get in this boat and go out in the Sea of Galilee. And they didn't want to get in the boat. Isn't that interesting? So number one, if you and I are going to take big risks for God, we're going to have to follow his instructions. They didn't want to get in the boat. They didn't feel like getting in the boat. He had to constrain them. That means he had to make them get in the boat. See, if you and I are going to be positioned to take a risk, number one, we're going to have to follow his instructions. Does that make sense? Follow his instructions. Can you say that with me? Follow his instructions. He's going to maybe ask you some things that are uncomfortable. He's going to ask you, I know they're going to be uncomfortable. I'll just say it that way. He's going to ask you to do some things that your flesh may not want to do, but if you'll follow his instructions, he's positioning you to take a big risk and for a big, big breakthrough. So straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship to go before him unto the other side. Where did he say? He said they're going to make it to the other side. The other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. So Jesus is all by himself on the mountain praying, and his disciples are in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Next verse. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Notice that they're where they're supposed to be, and there's a storm. They're obeying God, and they ran into a storm. Let's come over here and try it over here. Just want to encourage you, people who say, well, if you're following God, it's going to be easy. If you're following God, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. They're living a life of obedience. They're right where they should be. They're getting ready for the opportunity for everybody in the boat to take a risk. And they're following him. They're right where they should be. They're 3 or 4 miles out in the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. So notice, even when we're following him and we're obeying God and we're going to church and we've gone through growth track, we're on the dream team, we're tither and a giver, storms are still going to come. Remember those 31 evil kings for 31 days? Spiritual warfare every day. That's why it's good to put your armor on every day. Amen. All right. So the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So circumstances, wow, didn't line up with the word of God. Next verse, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, between three and six in the morning, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Whoa. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now, if you know much about Jewish folklore and Jewish traditions, they believe that ghosts did come during the storms at night on the Sea of Galilee. So you got to know a little more about Jewish tradition to understand this, but we don't have time to go into it, but they're afraid. They think he's a ghost. Next verse, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now, do you see something here? He's asking them to get happy and not be in fear before the storm's over. So in other words, he's asking them to call things that be not. He's asking them to act like it's so when it ain't so. He's asking them to get in the right attitude, right mindset, while they're in the midst of the storm. Don't wait till the storm's over to get happy. Get happy in the storm. Don't wait till the storm's over. Yeah, come on. If we get happy in the storm, wow. If we get rid of the fear, so following his instructions, number two, getting rid of fear, because fear will come. It'll knock on our shoulder when God's asking us to do something we've never done. See, taking a risk is doing something you've never done before. But you know what? If we want to go where we've never gone, we got to do something we've never. I want to try that one more time because that's huge. That's huge. Don't miss that. People say, well, I want this, I want that, and I've never had it. Well, what are you doing to get it? Because if I want something I've never had, I've got to do something I've never done before in my life. Fast 21 days. Give $100 in one offering. Give $1,000 in one offering. Start serving in the church. Sharing my faith once a week. I don't know what it might be, but all I know is got to follow his instructions. I got to resist fear, and I got to start acting like it's so before it's so. That's called faith. So I got to follow his instructions. I got to resist fear, and I got to act in faith in the midst of the storm. Amen. Am I helping somebody? I'm hustling. I've gone way too long. But straightway Jesus said to them, be of good cheer. Get happy. Rejoice. It is I. Be not afraid. What's he saying? Focus on him. These all start with F. I worked really hard for that for y'all. Sorry, it's a bad habit, I guess, but it's a learning tool. So he says, focus on me. It is I. Be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou. Now, you know, I've always had a hard time. I've been raised in the church. Always had a hard time with, if it's you, then you know. And so, you know, I did some research and some commentaries and dictionaries. And actually what it says is, since it's you. Not if. There's a wrong interpretation there, the King James. He said in the original transcript, he's saying, since it's you, bid me come. Wow. Since it's you, bid me come to thee on the water. What did he want? Fellowship. He wanted to walk with him. He wanted to get close to him. He wanted to get out of the boat and get near him. Fellowship. If I'm going to take some big risk, I'm going to have some quiet time with him. For the confidence, for the assurance, for the encouragement. Come on, somebody. For a right now word. So fellowship. Peter answered and said to him, Lord, since it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Next verse, verse 29. And he said, come. Notice, a little word with four letters was enough to have authority over the wind, the wave, the sea, the distance. God, all you need is one word from God tonight. It has more than enough power to change, rearrange, correct, adjust, mend, heal, and restore your set of circumstances. One little word with four letters. But if it's a word from him, it's more than enough. So he said, come. So see, when Peter went out there and he was walking on the water, he got out of the boat. He took a risk, right, church? And when he got out of the boat to take that risk, he wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word. He was walking on the word come. He wasn't walking, because when he looked down and saw the water, he began to sink. As long as he was walking on the word, standing on the word, speaking the word as many times as you can throughout the day. Not once in a while, not just on Saturday. As many times, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 times a day, you walk on the word and watch what God will do for you. Because remember, if they could live life over again, they'd take what? Bigger risk. Well, here's the formula, right? So he says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come, notice he didn't say Peter. Any of them could have. He didn't say Peter, come. He just said, come. Any of them could have acted on the word come. But only one got out of the boat. Okay, so come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Why? Fellowship. He wanted to go be with Jesus. Wow. Will this risk I'm about to take bring me closer to God? Or is it my own thing? Is it my own kingdom? Is it my own this, that, and the other? What will it do with the relationship I have with God, this big risk? Wow. So walked on the water to go to Jesus. Next verse. And when he saw the winds, so he got his eyes off of Jesus. He got his eyes off the word, didn't he? His focus, he was distracted. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Now, that's a miracle right there, because notice he's beginning to sink. Right? I call that a miracle. I mean, if it would have been me, I would have. Right? Beginning to sink. What did he do? He cried out saying, Lord, save me. Wow. Next verse. And immediately, so how soon is Jesus there for you and me?
Immediately.
He's not going to let us drown. I'd rather try and fail than not try and miss my full reward. I'd rather try and fail. I'd rather shoot at the moon and come close and hit a star and have my full reward than miss my full reward. Yeah. So immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said to him, O thou of little faith. So what does little faith do? Looks at the circumstances. Little faith is moved at the circumstances. O thou of little faith, O thou of little faith. Where did you doubt? That word doubt in the Greek means waver. Waver. It means double-minded. What's the Bible saying? I've gone way too long, you guys. I'm sorry.
man, look at that clock. Woo.
Am I helping anybody? So waver. And so what's the Bible saying? James, if I'm a double-minded person, I won't receive. But how do I get single-minded? Fellowshipping with him. Standing on the word. Speaking the word. Come on, somebody. Yeah. What did you doubt? Verse 32. And when they were coming to the ship, when Jesus got in the boat, the wind ceased. I want to be a bigger risk taker this year. How about you? I do. I don't want to get to heaven. God's got to wipe away my tears because I missed out on my full reward, the eternal reward that he has for me. How about you? Amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.